Blog Talk Radio.
Malcolm Ehud, Malcolm, good. Beautifully good, good. Ehud, first day here in the early hours. You know, evening and morning is one day. So, you know, we see that pattern even in the scripts, especially in the Brit Chadasha, where they kept the Sabbath together. Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, you know, they would reason. He would reason with the different ones and ones, you know, in the different aggregation, congregations, gatherings on the Sabbath day, expounding on the scriptures, on the Torah and the revelation of Yeshua as HaMashiach. Yeah. Okay, right here. Let's just pause a little bit right here. Wait for the ones and ones to log on with Rastafari Israelite, the YouTube live stream right there, as well as Rastafari Groundation. Groundation also on certain Facebooks as well, you know, but hopefully, you know, yeah. All right. Greetings. Malcolm, who would see that the Rastafari Israelites Groundation is on right now, right here on the board with I and I. Hopefully we're being heard. So here, this is the first day service, a.k.a. the Sunday service, based on the principle evening and morning is one day, based on the principle that, say, Friday evening is the beginning and preparation for the Shabbat day. You know, so we have to be able to discern day and night, getting back to the very basics, right? So we have the evening time of the Friday and the prep, you know, and the gathering together for the prepping for the Shabbat day, for the day, you know, the 12 hours or so in the day, in the daylight time. So here, we'd like to reason a little bit more on some of the principles here that we find in the third book of the Bible, third book of Moses, known as Leviticus. Now, it's kind of a hard, it's like when I think Petro or Kepha, a.k.a. Peter, when he said concerning Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. the Apostle Paul, he says, and some of the things that he says are kind of hard to understand. You know, even this whole thing about sacrifice, just from this today's point of view, going through this particular book right here, you know, is not just difficult perhaps for the hearers and the listeners, but also initially for the reader, you know, and hopefully we get some reasoning, also get to take on some of the questions that might be there. But let's not look at this, what we find here in isolation, you know, say, oh, those Israelites, those Hebrews, it was about all that blood everywhere. But so is a lot of other practices of other spiritualists and, you could say, spiritualities and traditions that one might call religions of past times and even present times. Remember that the Hebrew and the Israelite people, by virtue of the language being an Afro-Semitic, or some like to say Afro-Asiatic, we say therefore the Asiatic black man, you know, to recognize that just because it is called Asia doesn't mean that we wasn't there, and I and I people and like-minded people also being there. But here, what is unique about this, we said in the meme that we shared, that just like other African peoples, the Israelites, you know, knew about sacrifices and the principle of life for life and certain blood work, you know, how they worked with the blood. And I think that was the same, you know, it was the same, but it was similar because they were universal principles. And this is one reason why we share a little bit of the audible right here. Let's see if we can bring up this Jordan Peterson audible right here. Let's just get his name right here, bring it up, because their reasonings brought to mind some of the things that in studying the Hebrew start to come out to give a better context, right? And recognize that for us, the word sound and power, for them, it was that word sound and the power of it was the actual practice of it, right? For I and I, the power is the understanding, you know, the overstanding, and overstanding it according to the new covenant type. In order, we have the shadows, like the tabernacle, for example, the tabernacle, right? If you look at the tabernacle structure, it resembles, we could say, the human being, right? It resembles man, right? And then we have the new covenant scriptures, you know, concerning know ye not that we are, that ye are the temple, we collectively as a temple with the many different parts, but all together one whole, brought together as one. And then it furthermore says, know ye not that your bodies, you know, so it's like children in growing in grace and in the knowledge. But here, just as audible here, it's called sacrifice. Okay, here it says sacrifice, not primitive. We play that one right there. But I think it means primitive in a sense of, you know, being like in the sense of like people look at primitive in funny ways in English. It can either be looked at to be like something bad or wrong. But if you look at the very word, primitive means first. So we have to go to the first times, you know, even in the end of the Gentile times to come through with the overstanding heart and mind. So we can overstand these principles here in their proper context and not confuse it with the confusion of Babylon and the Babylonian system. So here we have it. It's called Praying is a Form of Sacrifice, right? It's a biblical series concerning the Exodus right here. And we share this here as a reasonment, right, connected with certain universal principles. And let's see if we see any of these principles here applied here in the third book of the Bible, third book of Moshe, the Hebrew book known as Leviticus, Hebraically the Sefer Vayikra, the Sefer Vayikra, and he called the handbook of the priest. Shema,
if you take the animal and you burn it, then the smoke rises, and God is that which is above, and so God can detect the smoke, and then he can detect the quality of the offering. So that's the idea behind the offering, and it is archaic. It's not the way that modern people think about sacrifice, but I think about it psychologically as a developmental move towards full recognition of the idea, first of all, that work is a form of sacrifice and vice versa, and that because you sacrifice the present to the future at least, but you also sacrifice everything to your highest priority if you're not confused. And then that brings up the question of what the highest priority should be and what the quality of the sacrifice should be. And the answer to that psychologically is it should be the highest possible quality sacrifice to the highest possible thing, because otherwise you have to ask yourself, well, why would you bother doing it? So it's easy to dismiss these ideas of burnt offering as primitive superstition, but there's an idea behind them that's it's unbelievably deep and profound, and also the idea that life requires sacrifice to continue in its utmost form, and that the sacrifice should be voluntary, and that even it should extend in some sense, and has to the sacrifice of the innocent. I mean, that's an extremely profound and also very problematic idea, but it can't be just hand-waved away.
And there's a manner in which, if you take that fractally and you apply it to little things or to purposes in general, there's a manner in which the purpose will always know the quality of your sacrifice,
right?
Because what you do, the quality of what you do will attain or not the purpose,
right?
But like the world will hit you back. You can pretend with people, you can lie, you can deceive, but if you're trying to be a good basketball player
and
you don't make the sacrifices,
yeah,
you're not going to be a good basketball player.
That's
what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, and that's another indication of the intrinsic logos of the world, and we also know this deeply, I would say, inside ourselves, because people know perfectly well that their conscience can torment them. And it is the case sometimes that people's conscience is overdeveloped and has this tyrannical superego element and will knock them down. But if your conscience is functioning well, basically what it does is indicate to you constantly that your sacrifices are either not of the right sort or they're not of the highest quality. And you call yourself out on that, right? And so, what's one of the things that's so odd about that is you can't, if you try to escape from that, it just makes it worse for you, and you know that, and you really can't escape from it, not except by abiding by it. You can fight it and all of that, and you can harden your heart and become even more determined in your willingness to make improper sacrifices, but you know perfectly well, I've never seen anyone that in some fundamental sense was deluded on that account. People know. They know. I could have tried harder.
By the way, is it your theory then, in light of all these days and that subject of sacrifice, do you feel that we are net losers religiously, morally, theologically, net gainers or neither, having no more sacrificial system?
Well, I think we do still have a sacrificial system. I mean, I asked my students all the time in my Maps of Meaning class. A lot of them were children of first-generation immigrants, often Asian. I said, what did your parents sacrifice to come here? Well, it's like they knew exactly what that meant, and they knew exactly, generally, what they had sacrificed as well. And so we've spiritualized it in some sense, and partly what you see in the entire biblical corpus is the spiritualization,
agreed,
the psychologization of a sacrificial practice.
But very specifically, and I don't have an answer.
In the fact that we don't act it out.
The actual carnal representation of sacrifice, is that a loss that we don't
have
that?
It's a very good question. I mean,
I
know. part of the question that Jonathan and I have been debating back and forth constantly is, and part of the question that this book raises is, to what degree does what's become abstract still need to be represented in image and action, right?
Right.
How much does it have to be ritualized?
Yeah.
And
but
the answer
is, in Jewish tradition, there is still, even though it's not a killing of an animal, there still is a ritualized aspect of the sacrifice. Is there some kind of giving, like giving money or giving something which becomes like a...
Judaism, the Torah and Judaism later are very concrete religions. It was even dismissed by some Christians in the Middle Ages as a carnal religion because it's so deeply embedded in life.
Mm-hmm.
The abstract is less important than the concrete in many ways in the Torah and in Judaism. But I'm asking this, I don't know if you know this, I'm sure Oz knows this, but many, many religious Jews still pray daily for the restoration of the sacrificial system, that the temple be rebuilt, and specifically so that we can sacrifice again. And
there's no denying the drama of blood and death.
Right. So you would not dismiss that prayer as odd.
I tend not to dismiss anything that's extraordinarily peculiar out of hand, right? Because there's usually something lurking underneath it. But I mean, in Christianity, obviously, you still have
we still have the sacrifice. We participate in the sacrifice of Christ.
Right.
It's not a repeated sacrifice,
no.
Isn't it?
It is a participation, a perfect memory in the participation of the sacrifice of Christ.
It is an unusual period. AD 70 is when it disappeared, isn't it?
Right.
Destruction of the temple. And they shifted from the temple to the synagogue and from, if I understand it rightly, Dennis, from sacrifice
to prayer.
To prayer.
Right.
And I always wonder, how does prayer fill in for sacrifice?
Well, hopefully when you pray, you sacrifice your own tyrant,
atonement.
Right? Because that's it.
Well, you sacrifice a lot of time to pray.
Partly what you're saying is, I think if the prayer is proper, is you're saying, there's part of me that needs to go. There's part of me that I need to let go. There's part of me that needs to die, and it has to be given up to something higher. What part of it is of me has to go? And there's a contemplative aspect to that, and you look to the highest to help guide you in that. So there's a discriminating spirit within you that can help separate the chaff from the wheat, and the offering up of the chaff is the sacrificial gesture. And so that can be transformed into prayer. And one of the things that Jung would say about that, for example, is that if you give up enough psychologically, you don't have to, you'll cut your losses in actuality. And of course, that's sort of what thought's for, is right? So that you can get yourself straight, you can give it up in abstraction so you don't act out the pathology and then nothing dies in actuality. But that still means you have something to give up. And part of that repentance idea is a sacrificial notion. It's like, well, oh, that's what I did wrong. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a big part of me. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to hurt when that goes. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, but maybe you won't die. And then you offer it up as a sacrifice to something higher, because otherwise, why would you improve? Mm-hmm. And that discriminating spirit inside that judges what's in you that should be sacrificed, that wouldn't even exist unless it was existing in relationship to something higher, because there'd be nothing to serve as a judge.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Selah. Selah.
መዝሙር 23 በቅንፍ 24 በመጀመሪያ ሰንበት የዳዊት መዝሙር ምድርና ሞላዋ ለእግዚአብሔር ነው ዓለምም በእርሷም የሚኖር ሁሉ እርሱ በባህሮች መስርቷልና በፈሳሾችም አጽንቷልና ወደ እግዚአብሔር ተራራ ማን ይወጣል በቅድስናው ስፍራ ማን ይቆማል እጆቹ የነጹ ልቡም ንጹህ የሆነ ነፍሱን ለከንቱ ያላነሳ ለባልንጀራውም በሽንገላ ያልማለ እርሱ ከእግዚአብሔር ዘንድ በረከትን ከመድኃኒቱ አምላክ ምሕረትን ይቀበላል ይህች ትውልድ እርሱን የምትፈልግና የያዕቆብን አምላክ ፊት የምትፈልግ እናንት መኳንንቶች በሮችን ክፈቱ የዘላለም ደጆች ይከፈቱ የክብርም ንጉሥ ይግባ ይህ የክብር ንጉሥ ማን ነው እግዚአብሔር ነው ብርቱና ኃያል እግዚአብሔር ነው በሰልፍ ኃያል እናንት መኳንንቶች በሮችን ክፈቱ የዘላለም ደጆችም ይከፈቱ የክብርም ንጉሥ ይግባ ይህ የክብር ንጉሥ ማን ነው የጭፍሮች አምላክ እግዚአብሔር እርሱ የክብር ንጉሥ ነው
Psalm 24 The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah.
לדוד מזמור, אדוני הארץ מלואה, בבית ביו שבבה, כי הוא על ימים יסדה, והנערות יכונניה, יעלה בהר אדוני, ויקום במקום קודשו, נקי כפיים ובר לבב, אשר לא נשא לשווא נפשי, ולא נשבע למרמה, יסבר החם את אדוני, וצדקה אלוהי ישעו, זה דור דורשיו, מבקשי פניך יעקב סלה, זהו שערים ראשיכם ינשאו בטחי העולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד, מזה מלך הכבוד, אדוני חיזוץ וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה, זהו שערים ראשיכם ושאו בטחי העולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד, מזה מלך הכבוד, אדוני צבאות, ומלך הכבוד סלה.
Off you go to work.
Off you go.
Doing your everyday business.
Ooh,
one thing chronics I ask you. When was the last time you prayed? Give Jah a hand for health and faith. When was the last time you prayed? And thou shalt protect you from the pagan. When was the last time? Could you tell me? When last you prayed and got dumped on your knee? When was the last time you prayed? When was the last time you prayed? After feeling not on your own understanding. See Jah when you wake in the morning. Please, I beg you please. See Jah first and go down on your knees. Ooh yeah. You don't know what trouble lies ahead. In this cold world where this is dangerous. And it's so easy to get misled. Boy, rent you like cut off, so many will say. Cause them I wonder which part got this. But when them ask, this is what I say. When was the last time you prayed? Give that a hand for health and faith. When was the last time you prayed? How could you tell me, boy? When was the last time? Could you tell me? When last you prayed? Go down on your knee. When was the last time you prayed? Yeah. When was the last time? I never be ungrateful. You have to give thanks for everything where you gain. Now but I pray for your bread a big feast. Beg you please give thanks for the little now your plate. Ease up. Look out and before you push out of your house. Beg you all a reference. Inna the streets at the place in a siege of a chant at least one prayer a day. Because you don't know what trouble lies ahead. In this old world where this is dangerous. And it's so easy to get misled. And when your plans start failing, I know you will say, hey, you will wonder which part got there. But when you ask, this is what I say. When was the last time? Well, ooh, ooh. When was the last time you prayed? I bet. When was the last time? Yeah. When was the last time you prayed? Could you tell me, baby? Ah, could you tell me, boy? Tell me, boy. Could you tell me? Could you tell me, boy?
Yes, yes, yes. Interesting that reasoning that we played a little earlier right there where they go over kind of summary how it went from the sacrifices and after the temple time 70 AD, which is very important to many of I and we. After 70 AD and the temple destruction, how more of the emphasis was towards like prayer, like was towards prayer. And ones and ones were able to find in Dawid and David in the Psalms, man after Jehovah's own heart, they was able to find powerful backative, we could say backative in the words such as over here, here, here. But that was a good point that was made how it shifted from the temple worship time and the offerings, right, to even that more spiritual conception. As I think it was Jordan Peterson, he said at the beginning, you know, it's like a very archaic, you saw my very like archaic. It's not something that we're, you know, used to, estranged to our way of seeing things, you know, today. But yet there's a universal principle application, but seeing how even in the Hebrew, the Israelite, like the scriptural, the true tribe, we see how there's a psychological evolution. You know, where it goes from, for example, let me just share this right here before we ride up right here with the prophet's reading, the Haftarah, and the Berit Hadasha, the Adis Kidan, you know?
So here, here, here. Let's share this right here, here, here. This audible here.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. 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 Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. For 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 thee as incense. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. As incense. Before thee as incense. As incense. As incense, as incense, as incense, as incense, as incense, as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice, evening sacrifice, evening sacrifice, before thee as incense, before thee as incense, before thee as incense, forth before thee as incense, prayer be set forth before thee as incense, prayer be set forth before thee.
Yes, 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 yes. Pray to I, slicha, slicha, forgive I, or as some Israelites say, salakia, right? Salakia, but really it's slicha, slicha, like forgive I right there. Yeah. I said pause right there. We was playing this part here once again, just for continuity. Yeah.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Evening sacrifice.
Boys, so right here, 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 here we have Psalm 141. Psalm 141, and this is a psalm that's ascribed to Dawid, to David. And so here, a man after Yahweh Eloheinu's own heart, a man after his own heart. It's kind of interesting when we look at this from a kind of a psychological, psycho-spiritual, theological perspective. He's saying, let my prayer be set before you. Usually it's the offering that is set before you, the altar, the patach, the door, the ohel moed, you know, but the prayer here takes the place, right, of the aishens, even the aishens offering, right, and the lifting up, right, of my hands, of the hands, right? They said, put your hands up. But when the hands was lifted up, as we had with the teruma, and we didn't go into so much of the Hebrew with the teruma. Often it's translated as offering. But the word come from like room. Teruma come from the root of room, room, which means like to lift up. So that's lifting up. So it's like a offering that's lifted up. But it's almost like when somebody say, give it up, give it up. You know, give it up. Not just give it over here, but just give it up. It has a kind of a ancient, you were getting back to some of the primitive, the foundational ideas of humanity that's already hardwired in us. And so when we say certain things, even today, we might say it one way, but it's not meant to be understood so-called literally according to the letter, but according to the spirit of it. So here we have a very good example of what they was reasoning about with after the 70 AD and no longer having a temple, like a place to offer, because the Torah says that it's in the place where Yahuwah Jehovah sets his name. So that means anyone who is Torah observant know that they couldn't just make an offering over here, over there, and say, yeah, well, you know, God is here, there, and everywhere. They could do that if they want to, but they're no longer in this covenant. You know what I'm saying? They would have violated that covenant. So everything was directed towards the tabernacle, right? Towards the sanctuary, and later on towards the temple. But after the temple is no more, toward the physical stone building temple, then what? So some look at it from a Jewish or a modern Judaism perspective. You know, they will say, well, it's over time after 70 AD that this idea came about and ones began to focus more on prayer as a sacrifice or as an offering. But then we can already find scriptural, biblical, and also prophetic examples of this is the way that Jah was seeking to grow Jah's children. One might even ask, well, from the very get, how can we get sacrifices? You know, because some might say, you know, why does he even go through this here? Well, it's not because when he brought them out of Egypt, remember when he brought them out of Mitzrayim, as there's a kind of a well-known part of the Bible that people often quote, that, you know, he didn't require of them like any kind of burnt offering or whatever when he brought them out. And that's quite correct. But this got into it because the people was committed at below the mountain, at Sinai. Remember when Moses was up there, the people decided to go through their own rite and ritual. You know, their own thing that they may be familiar with in the Tawi, the two lands, or whatever, you know, whatever denomination, whatever they were used to, they kind of like, it's like when the Bible says that, you know, the dog, you know, returns to his vomit, and the pig, after being washed, he goes back to wallowing in the mud. And because of this, right, since it's like, if you want to do this, then do this this way. This is why the first words, even in Leviticus, reads that way. It says, if a man, if, it didn't say that man gotta, you gotta do this. No, if a man, but they already show that they were about that. And therefore, this is what was to regulate them, you know. But even so, we have David, right, within that cultural Torah and theological context, saying something that if you look around, where does he get authorization to say, well, let my prayer be as Aishas. So if I have no Aishas, my prayer may rise and be sweet before you as Aishas offering, you know? And the lifting up of my hands, put your hands up, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So he's saying even without having the physical offering, we can already see the kind of psycho-spiritual transmutation. It's just like an offering. What is a sacrifice? You know, or what is even when something gets burnt? Do you not know it goes through a state change, a change from one state to the next? You know, from being that physical thing, now it goes up in the smoke. So even from that aspect of it, you know, we have ancient science. You know, people talk about science, what they call science. But even right there, there's a science of trans kind of mutation, changing from one form to the next. You know, from a solid form, you know what I mean, to a spirit form. See, we talk about spirituality and we might think of a lot of different things. I'm not going to point out this or that because I don't want nobody to think I'm just talking about what you might feel, the spirituality or so forth and so on, but in a general way. But scripturally speaking directly, spirituality or spirit has to do with the breath, breathing, right? How often do we say, you know, I'm going to pray, I'm going to worship, but let me focus on my breath. Let me give thanks for the breath. The breath. Breath, spirit, words spoken require breath and spirit, word, sound, power, right? And also, right, and also we have the ear, the wind, right, the smoke, you know what I'm saying? So to the ancient peoples, they understood the connection when they talk about spirit, right, and the transmutation of, say, the Aishas from its physical state, right, where it might not give out much smell just like that. But now when you add the fire to it, right, and then the smoke and the rising of the smoke. So there's a lot there that we sometimes miss. You know, we miss out on. You know, when we talk about spirituality, we tend to think about something that is more like, how can I say, it's more like, don't want to trifle it, but it's like, we're philosophizing. In a sense, we're philosophizing. Not that philosophy in principle is wrong, but we're philosophizing and we're kind of shooting past kind of like the red light. The red light is to stop and say, wait, in the ancient languages, the word for spirit and the word for air, even the connection with breath, was all one and the same. You know what I mean? And even when we look at the heart of the sacrifice, besides what is being burned, as Jordan Peterson or one of them has said something about giving up something, giving up the utility of something. So it's like when it says, like if a chief priest or a priest or if a great man, a man of a standing messed up, he would have to bring something like a bull, right? But if a poor man or a regular rank and file man, you know what I mean? He could bring a lamb. He can't afford a lamb. He could bring two turtle doves or pigeons. If he can't get that, then he could bring some grain. So we get to recognize it wasn't so much Right. Really about the offering was typology. And what that typology meant, we somewhat lost sight of today, you know, because we live in a different time, in a different world. So because we lost sight of that, if we can get a sight of some of the basics, at least we'll be able to see, well, how did they see it? You know what I mean? And then also, how did it transmute even in itself to when David says something like he says right here in Psalm 141, right? That's why it says David is like a type of Messiah. Even David becomes like a template of Moshiach. It's not just because he's named David, but it's because of what sort of heart or mind and understanding he had and boldness to declare it too.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Evening sacrifice.
Evening sacrifice.
Evening sacrifice.
Evening sacrifice.
Evening sacrifice.
Evening sacrifice. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense.
For 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 thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense.
As incense.
Before thee as incense.
As incense.
As incense,
as incense,
as incense,
as incense,
as incense,
as incense,
as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice,
the evening sacrifice,
the evening sacrifice.
Shemaiah, Abunde Shemaiah, right there. That was a little bit of the Aramaic right there of the Lord's Prayer right there. But here, we're going to pick up right here. But since we're speaking about prayer right here, let's go over some of the basic Amharic right here for the prayer. Yes, I, Rastafari. Go through a basic Amharic right here, Brother Samuel. And then Samuel Gabru. Right here, let's see if we can bring up Samuel. He goes through it in Amharic in the English, and then we just touch on it briefly in the Hebrew and ride up with the Haftarah and the Brit Chadasha here, corresponding with the first reading from the third book, the Handbook of the Priest, a.k.a. also known as Leviticus or And He Called, right here.
The Lord's Prayer in English, Ge'ez, and Amharic. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Ge'ez. Abune zebesamayat, yitqaddas simika, timtsa' mengistika, weyikun fiqareka, bekama besamay kamahu bemidir, sisayene, zelele iletene, habene yom, hedig leni, abesane, wegagayene, kemene hinneni, nehedig lezi abese lene, itaabiane, igzio, wiste mensut, alla dihanene, ووالهانه ام كله اكوي اسمي زياك يئت من قسطحيل وسبحات العالم عالم آمين ام هايك عباتا چن هوي بسماي متنور سمي يكادس من قسطي تمتع فكادة بسماي اندهونج اندهون بمدر تهون يئلت انجلاتشنين ستانزاري بدلاتشنين ميقربلن ان يام يبدلو يكرن دمنل عبتو ورفاتنا ناتاقبان ككفو هلو ارنين انجي መንግስት ያንተናትና ኃይልም ክብር መስጋና ለዘላለም አሜን
አሜን አሜን ኢፍሪት ኢብሪ ራይት ሄር ሄር ሄር
לכן
נאסטיק פרקם
כך התפללו אתם אבינו שבשמיים יתקדש שמך תבוא מלכותך יעשה רצונך כבשמיים, כן בארץ. את לחם חוקנו תן לנו היום, וסלח לנו על חטאינו, כמו שסולחים גם אנחנו לחוטאים לנו. ואל תביאנו לידי ניסיון, כי אם חלצנו מן הרע, כי לך הממלכה והגבורה והתפארת לעולמי עולמים. אמן. 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 Amen.
In pervert, came across the direct translation of the Lord's Prayer from Aramaic into English, and I just thought everyone needs to hear this. The Lord's Prayer that most people are familiar with is the translation from Aramaic to Greek to Latin and then into English. But this is the direct translation that archaeologists uncovered on a scroll from 1892. O cosmic birther of all radiance and vibration, soften the ground of our being and carve out within us a space where your presence can abide. Fill us with your creativity so that we may be empowered to bear the fruit of your mission. Let each of our actions bear fruit in accordance to our desire. Endow us with the wisdom to produce and share what each being needs to grow and flourish. Untie the tangled threads of destiny that binds us as we release others from the entanglement of past mistakes. Do not let us be seduced by that which will divert us from our true purpose, but illuminate the opportunities of the present moment. For you are the ground and the fruitful vision, the birth, the power, and fulfillment, as all is gathered and made whole once again. And so it is.
Brother and brother, hear, hear, Brother Nassim saying, why are they stopping you? Word, sound, power. Why are they stopping your prayer and the power of prayer? This is a personal inner thing, but it's very relevant to reality in life.
So we always need more chizik, more chizik. The Gemara tells us that one of the things that always we need help in strengthening is a tefillah. So one may ask, how can I keep myself motivated for tefillah? How can I keep myself motivated to pray to God? I see things that I'm not getting answered. You know, it's very hard. Sometimes I'm just not feeling it. And first off, this comes from a person having to know how big tefillah really is and what's on the other side of it. You have to understand that a lot of times when we meet a lot of resistance in something that is so huge and something that's so big. And you have to understand that the other side knows the Sitra Achra, the Satan, the devil, the whatever you want to call it. The other side of resistance already knows how important prayer actually is. So what do you think? That it's going to be one of the main places that a person is going to have to experience that battle, that fight. But what should strengthen the person is that they should already know, they should be able to judge it by how hard it is for them to do it, that they're able to know how big this thing really is. So that should be motivation for everybody. Rashi himself says that when it says in the Gemara and the second prophets, says that there are things that stand at the height of the world. He says, this is tefillah, this is prayer. Stands at the height of the world, but it's disrespected the most. People don't take it serious. They don't understand that on the other side of this, it's not a maybe. I'm telling you this, especially on the things that are ruchnis, things that are spiritual. It's not maybe. Hashem will save the person. It's going to be dependent on how much emunah you have and how much betachin you have, how much trust that you have and your prayers. That's what's going to depend on you being saved or not. So that should be the chizuk. It's definitely going to see that it's very, very hard for me to pray, for me to open up and to be able to say whatever. I can't feel Hashem. Hashem feels far from me. You should know that in that moment right now, you're facing the biggest resistance because the biggest prize is on the other side of that. So we should all strengthen ourselves with the feeling of that Hashem.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot. 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 So here, let's wind up with the Haftarah, the prophet's reading, blessing, or the reading of the prophet, the Haftarah.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar B'Nebiim Tobim Veratzah B'Debrehim Hane'amarim Be'emet. Baruch atah Adonai, Habocher, Batorach, Moshe Abdo, Ube Israel Ammo, Ube Nebiei Haemet Watzedek. Blessed art the I, Adonai, Eloheinu, Eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art the I, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 21, to chapter 44, verse 23. This, my people, have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 21. To chapter 44, verse 23. This, my people, have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquity. I am he that brought out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to the reproaches. Chapter 44, verse 1 to 23. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith Yahweh, that made thee, informed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Yisroel, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourse. One shall say, I am Yahweh, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hands to Yahweh and surname himself by the name of Yisrael. Thus saith Yahweh, the Nagus Israel, and his Redeemer, Yahweh Zephaot Buruku. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no Elohim. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people? And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show to them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there an Elohim beside me? Yea, there is no Elohim, I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed, who have formed an El, or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing. Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed in the workmen. They are of men, Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up, yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the cold, and fashioneth it with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arm. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He maketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and maketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doeth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh an ale, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, Ithak. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, Ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire, Ithak. In the residue thereof he maketh an ale, even his graven image. He falleth down to it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth to it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my ale. They have not known nor understood, for ye have shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, Is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return to me. For I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for Yahweh Buruhu have done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing. Ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For Yahweh Buruhu have redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Yisrael. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Give thanks, Ras Sahar Ahai, for the reading of the Haftarah, the prophet's reading right there, there, there. We have that from Yeshaya, Isaiah, the Isaiah reading right there, Isaiah. So here we're going to forward right here to the Brit Kadasha, the Renewed Covenant, New Covenant reading. Right here, first things first, of course, is the Baraka.
So stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadasha Aliyot. Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
First Baraka, a blessing.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabarot Shel Habarik Ha Hadasha. Baruch Ata Adonai Notain Habarik Ha Hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha Chadis Kidan Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 24. Vayikra, and he called. From Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 18, and Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10 through 15. We begin B'Shem Ha'ab
Wehabin Weruach HaKadosh Yahweh Ahad. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he who be, who he be, the one. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 1, Aleph. Verse 2, Beit. Verse 3, Gimel. Verse 4, Dalet. Ki HaTorah Bihiot Ba Tel HaTobot HaAtidot Willo Mare Etzem HaDbarim Ein Biakalta Leolam LeHashlim Et HaKrebim BaKarbanot HaHim Asher Yakribu Tamid Mide Shana B'Shana Ki im kein halo halu lahabiam ki lo haita od idiat chataim bimakaribim bekita haram pa'am echat abal yesh sham hazakarat hachataim shana b'shana Ki dam haparim wehashirim lo yukal lehasir chataim. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices that they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipper once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O Elohim. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, that are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O Elohim. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the that will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Yeshua HaMashiach, of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Elohim, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering has he perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sin and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Hebrews chapter 13. Christian separation and worship. Verse 10, Yod. Verse 11, Yod Aleph. Verse 12, Yod Beit. Yesh lanu mizbeach asher ein lehem rishut limsharate hamishkan le'akol me'alayu. K
ki habhemot asher huba daman bakodesh lekaparat hachet al yedei hakohen hagadol guyotehen nisrfu mechutz la machane ba'avor zot gam yeshua unah mechutz la machane. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Yeshua Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, to him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The believer priest's sacrifice. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to Elohim continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Kabur Lakalu, Kabur Ladimtu, Kabur Lakhailu, Kabur Lakedamawi, Haile Selassie, Be Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I. Rastafari.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, Exiavi, Yemesken, Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus
Christos. This is Psalms 24 without apology. Muta Maruka and Luciana, trust me.
Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
The world and they that
dwell therein. For he hath found it upon the sea.
He hath founded it on the sea.
And established it upon the flood.
Established it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of
Jah?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean hands and a pure heart.
And
who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor scorned his equal? He hath received the blessing from Jah Jah and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him.
This is the generation that seek him the most high God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob. Your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
I say, who?
Emperor Haile Eyes, the last eyes. Shall come in.
And the King of Glory, yes, the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
Say,
Emperor Haile
Selassie.
He is the King of Glory.
Who is the King of Glory?
Rastafari. He is the King of Glory.
Ja, Rastafari.
He is the King of Glory.
Ja, Rastafari.
shall come in.
The King of Glory.
And now we ask again.
The King of Glory.
Who is the King of Glory? Jah Rastafari, Emperor Haile Selassie. He is the King of Glory.
Who is the King of Glory?
Who is the King?
Who is the King of Glory? Emperor Haile Selassie.
Emperor
of Ethiopia, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Conquering Lion in the tribe of Judah. He makes up and says, Light of the world, Rastafari.
Hey.
Shavua Tov, Tawav, usually good, seven, Malcolm Samint, good week, good strong to come right here, Sabbath Seal Song 144, before we write up some reasoning here from this 24th sabbatical study right here.
Psalm 144.
Yes,
blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Than the sum of the parts. And so here's what I began to do in the Scofield Study Bible, the English, you know, the basic we say, and so part of what seems so complicated or complex in the Torah study has to do with there's the parts, there's the sum, and then there's the whole, right, the holistic, the whole thing, which is greater than the sum of the parts. And so here's what I began to do in the Scofield Study Bible, the English, the basic we say, what's the word again, for like the plane, not the parsha is the portion, peshat is like to say the plane, you know, the plain read, the basics. So here, going to our page here at Rastafari Groundation, going to bring that open right here for the third book. So in looking at the chapters and verses and just making a little note, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the Torah portion. So for example, we're beginning here a new book, and here let's just update this. We're at the website Rastafari Groundation, some of the best practices and procedures. And what happens is that one try to, like, in a sense, like swallow the whole thing or eat the whole thing. And it's too much, especially all at one time. And this is why the Torah, we call it the Torah portions, but it's like the bite size, like the manna. I think the manna is the best example. The manna hu, as it's called, but later to be known as the manna. The manna is the best example. So here with this week's Torah portion here, the first reading is Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. So at Leviticus chapter 1, I will put a 1 there, right? Then go to the 13th verse and somewhere in the margin. Well, at the 14th verse, really, beginning of the 14th verse, I'll put the 2. Now, from Leviticus chapter 1, verse 14 to 2 and 6, so at verse 7, which will begin the third reading, I will put 3 in the margin on the side, right? Or just a three. I usually do a three in the circle or the number in a circle. Now, from Leviticus 2 and 7 to verse 16, right, to verse 16, which is the end of chapter 2, so that means at the beginning of chapter 3 is the fourth reading, the fourth reading. So I'll put right here, over here, four in a circle. So I mean that's the fourth aliyah, you know, the fourth Torah portion reading, right? In other words, it'd be like for the fourth day in the week, first day in the week, second day in the week, third day in the week, and so forth and so on. So here at the fourth, Leviticus chapter 3, verse 1 to 17, so going to 17, that's the end of the chapter, and beginning chapter 4 is the fifth aliyah, the fifth reading, the Hamshi, right? Hamishi or Hamshi, and we have the fifth. So I put a five there in the margin right next to chapter 4. Chapter 4 for the fifth reading to verse 26. So let's turn the page. Right, turn the page here to chapter 4 to verse 26. So beginning at verse 27 would be the sixth Sheshi, the sixth aliyah, the sixth reading, like say for the sixth day. So from Leviticus chapter 4, verse 27 to 5 and 10 is a 6. So the seventh reading is 5:11, is at Leviticus chapter 5, verse 11 to 26, to verse 26. Now here's the interesting thing. Here's the real interesting thing. Let me just put this note here at chapter 5. Now some have gone through this for themselves. Because sometimes, once, you know, you're here, but you don't really do. You know, so we learn more by doing. Of course, we get the basic instruction. You know, faith comes by hearing, right? By hearing. Faith comes, admittance comes by hearing. So when we go to chapter 5, verse 26, you might look in your Bible and say, hey, chapter 5 ends in the KJV, King James Version of the Bible, chapter 5 ends at verse 19. And that's because of the numbering, you know, speaking about the numbering, you know, in the manuscript, so forth and so on. That means, and we may have to update this or make some kind of a nuance there so that ones and ones can, you know, not, you know, going through the Hebrew at this present time can at least have the benefit of the results, you know, the best practices and procedures, as we're seeking to share right here. Hold on for a moment. Seeking to get some of our docs right here. Just, we've tried this for a few previous Torah portions, and it's really been helpful because then in looking over the, you know, the whole section, you can kind of see it within, you know, that mana, like the first day mana, the second day mana, the third day mana, the fourth day mana, like that. Okay, here we go right here, getting the homage right here. So where do we go? Where do we go right here? So, okay, now let me look at this right here. This is on our page at the Rastafari Foundation, and here just taking a look at Hebrew for Christians, he has it to 6 and 7. So that means you go to chapter 6, verse 7. Verse 7, that means that in chapter 6, verse 8, I'll put a 1 there in advance for the next Torah portion. You know, I think that's Av, right? It's Av, command, for the next Torah portion, but we're not there just yet. So that means that the 7th aliyah for the first reading in Leviticus, from the Hebrew perspective, chapter 5 has 26 verses. In the English, chapter 5 has 19 verses. So that means that the 7 verses, chapter 6, the first 7 verses, is part of that reading right here. Just a little note there, because I think maybe a few ones, if they have gone through that, might have come across and said, hey, what's up with that? You know, are they like missing verses? It's just numbered differently right there. So here we have the 7 aliyah for the 7 days. Right, in a kind of a more disciplined, discipled kind of study. One can study the Torah portion, you know, that manna for the Shabuah, that bread, like a loaf of bread in 7 parts, so to speak. So we have the first part, like for the first day, and this allows us more time to really chew, you know, to chew our food, to chew the cud, so to speak, you know, than just trying to take the whole thing, you know, bandafta, like in one, you know, one mouth at one gulp, you know, just trying to gulp down the whole thing and still trying to comprehend what it is that we have been reading and what it is that we are seeking to feed on. So here we're in the third book of Moses called Leviticus. So here, beginning at the beginning, Leviticus stands in the same relation to Exodus that the epistles do to the Gospels. Know the difference? Do you know the difference between the Gospels? What are the Gospels and what are the Epistles? Well, Leviticus, the third book of Moses, stands in the same relationship or relation to Exodus, what we just fulfilled and completed, that the Epistles do to the Gospels. So in other words, in this context, Leviticus is like the Epistles and the Gospels are like Exodus. Exodus is the record of redemption. The book of Exodus, the record, the Sefer Shemot of the names, the Yetziat Mitzrayim, it is the record of redemption and lays the foundation of the cleansing, one, worship, two, and service, three, of a redeemed people. So we have the foundation of the, one, cleansing, two, worship, three, service of a redeemed people. Leviticus gives the detail of the walk, one, the walk, the tribe, two, the worship, and three, the service of that people, that redeemed people, Jah people. In Exodus, Jah speaks out of the mount to which approach was forbidden. So Jah is speaking out, shouting out, calling out from the mount, but to that mount, approach was forbidden. In Leviticus, he speaks out, Jah calls out, that shout out, that's where Vayikra, 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 Tarto. He speaks out of the tabernacle in which he dwells, Shakanyahu, Shakanyahu, in the midst of his people, Amo, Jah people, to tell them that which befits, that which is proper, that which is befitting his islandness, his holiness, his set-apartness, kedusanal, his kedusha, right? In the approach to and communion with himself, in the approach to. Now, the approach we call the makrev, makrev Ethiopically from the karav, we have a karov in the Hebrew, karov, some would say karov, the karevet, to approach, makrev, to present, the approach to, and communion, a common union, tawahido, communion with himself. So the key word of Leviticus is holiness, kedusha, kedusha, holiness, set-apartness. Holiness, islandness, set-apartness occurs 87 times. The key verse in Leviticus is said to be Leviticus 19:2, the key verse. So the key word is holiness, and the key word, right, is holiness, and the key verse is 19:2. Just looking at 19:2 says, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, ye, y'all, shall be holy, for I, the Lord, Jehovah, your Elohim, am holy. Ye, y'all, I and I all are to be set apart, for he who be, who ye be, our Elohim, is set apart, is holy. So that's the key verse, right? The key word, holiness. Now, Leviticus is in nine chief main divisions. The first part is the offerings, verses 1 to verse chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 6, verse 7. That's interesting. This is first Aliyah, the offerings. This is the first of the nine chief divisions. Second is the law of the offerings, chapter 6, verse 8 to chapter 7, verse 38. The third is consecration, chapter 8, verse 1 to chapter 9, verse 24. The fourth is a warning, a warning example, chapter 10, verses 1 to verse 20. The fifth of the nine chief divisions is a holy, a set-apart Elohim, a set-apart true good, true God, must have a cleansed people. This is in chapter 11 to chapter 15. The sixth of the nine key or chief divisions is atonement, chapter 16 and chapter 17. The seventh of the chief divisions is the relationship of Jah's people, the relationships of Jah's people, chapter 18 to chapter 22, chapter 18 to chapter 22. The eighth of the nine chief divisions of the third book of Moses, Leviticus, is the feast of Jehovah. Here we have chapter 23, the feast, the Mo'edei Yahuwah, the feast of Jehovah. And lastly but not leastly, the ninth of the nine chief divisions of Leviticus is instructions and warnings, chapters 24 to chapter 27, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. 7, 7, 7, 7.
You see, that's a, you think, oh, how primitive, you know, how primitive these people were sacrificing to their God. It's like, you know, those people weren't stupid. And this is not primitive. Whatever it is, it's not primitive. It's sophisticated beyond belief, because the idea, as I already pointed out, is that you could sacrifice something of value and that that would have transcendent utility. And that is by no means an unsophisticated idea. In fact, it might be the greatest idea that human beings ever came up with. It's an answer to the problem that's put forward in the story of Adam and Eve, right? Because we became self-conscious, and then we discovered the future, and then we knew we were going to die, and then we knew we were vulnerable, and then we became ashamed, and then we developed the knowledge of good and evil, and then we got thrown out of paradise. It's like, that's a big problem. So what the hell are you going to do about it? Well, sacrifice. That's the hypothesis. Well, that's a hell of a hypothesis, man. That's what we're doing. You made plenty of sacrifices, even to sit in this theater, and many people made plenty of sacrifices to have a theater like this exist, and many people made sacrifices so that we could actually freely engage in the dialogue that we're engaging in a theater like this. And so it's like all of this is built on sacrifice, and sacrifice bloody well better work, because we do not have a better idea.
You know, because you were rendered weak-minded. You was rendered weak-minded. You know what I'm saying? The scripture says to rule thou in the midst of the enemies. But in order for you to rule in the midst of the enemies, you and we have to be trained. In order for us to be teachers, we have to be taught again what be the first principles of the oracles of God, right? And as a babe, you know, with milk, the milk helps us the structure, the instruction, and then our teeth come in, then we mature, then we grow, right? So I would say there is a point where sometimes you have to, you know, some things I wouldn't really check out more than, you know, because I recognize this is weak, it's garbage. I've already circumnavigated it. I already do a 360. Sometimes I've actually tested it, watch it, and, you know, watch it somebody, I predict what they're going to do, and people are like, oh, you've seen this before? No. It's like, is this a can? This is canned goods. It's out the can, you know. It's out the can, you know. Can that right there? But that's the second one where it says touch any unclean thing. So we might think it's just on a physical level, right? Like we're in Babylon, and Babylon spiritually is dead, but we don't touch their dead things. You know, which is their philosophies, their ideologies, their false gods, you know, based on their so-called leaders or misleaders and their, you know, worldly philosophies. That doesn't mean that we don't study it and break it down and find out that it's garbage and in what way it falls short of the glory. That's just scientific. That's just the knowledge, you know, doing the knowledge on it. Or touch human uncleanness or be touched by it. That's why you know, Paul says that I'm not saying to separate from like the fornicators of the world, you know, in that sense, you know, otherwise you have to go out of the world and you won't be effective for the kingdom. But it's saying like among the church, where if we bring in these kind of unclean ideas, you know, like as a part of this, you know, and I look at it as the spirit, you know, the spirit and the thought. It doesn't mean we don't address the subject or the topical matter, because many people are taken captive, right? So we have to be wise to salvation, to know what, you know, what it is and what he has provided for us as the weapons of our warfare, you know, so we do the logistics on this. You see, we're not being touched in our feelings, our emotion. Really, the touch part has a lot to do with the soul, the soul being the seat, right? The soul being the seat of the emotions, right? Touching the unclean things in our feeling, in our thought, right? Touching human uncleanness in our feeling or thought. Or the last case right here of the four different cases when a person was required to present a chatiyat or a sin offering, which would be in the new covenant sense an acknowledgement right, acknowledgement of a falling short. And notice, it's whether one, it says unwittingly, right? It says if anyone has done this unwittingly. Now, I'm going to go over this again because there's a couple of questions coming to even my mind on this, but I will, you know, head rest on it. But the last case is uttered an oath or forgot, or uttered an oath and forgot. Like uttered a yay, you know, a yay, but then in following up the action was nay. Or, you know, uttered an oath, like put our word to something. Because remember, the oath is a sheba, an oath. You know, so in such cases, the person had to confess and sacrifice a female sheep or goat. So even when we look at whether it was a male or a female, also speaks of the spiritual mechanic. And we're seeing the types to be object lessons. The typology to be object lessons of the new and of the true, right? And this is where we get, you know, certain symbolic forms of speech. You know, like you were saying about I and I, when am I and I, brother, where it was, or he says, well, free your mind and your ass will follow, in other words. Well, you can see that in a dual sense, right? But you can get the overall spirit of it, that basically just puts that emphasis on freeing your mind, right? I look at the ass in that sense of like your donkey ass, because your donkey has, it's like the children of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, they loaded all their goods on the donkeys, on the asses, right? So they had freed their mind, you know, at least of a certain, you know, of some things, you know, through the working of John, they were able to free their mind. And the asses, in that sense, the asses follow. Or if he could not afford a sheep, right, two turtle doves or two pigeons, or if he could not afford birds, then he was to present choice flour, like fine flour, without, right, without oil. So what do we have here so far in looking at these, in looking at these types? And probably in the forward we'll go into a little more of a reasoning on what we were saying earlier about like cast not your pearls to swine, nor that which is holy kedus to dogs. And then we find another dog and pig. Now the dog is male and the pig is female, I notice, especially in this other use of that ancient proverb, the ancient byword, the ancient parable, that the dog returns to its vomit, and the pig, after being washed, it returns to wallowing in the mud. It's kind of very interesting there. So it's speaking there even in the of a type of a soul and a type of a spirit, right? A type of a soul and a type of a spirit, as the male goat is for a chieftain, right? For a head, like in that position of the male, right? That aggressive. Right, while the layperson, the regular person, would sacrifice a female goat, right? So that female goat, right, would represent the more psychical or the subjective or the passive. You see what I'm saying? So when a leader has done something, or when a so-called, we say, a follower has done something, it depends on, you know, your particular station and responsibility in not just life, but also in a particular situation. Because you may be in one situation where, you know, in your family, your household, you're the leader of your household. But on your job or in a business with others, you know, brethren or sisterin, you are like a lay person. You're like one of the workers. You're not the main one, the leader, responsible, you know, for this work or this workload. So it's much in that same sense. But in casting your pearls, right, to swine, is speaking about and that which is holy to dogs is the reason why Christ himself, the Messiah himself, when he spoke to the multitudes especially, right? He did not speak to them, but even the disciples, actually the disciples, all the multitude, but when he spoke to them, right, he did not speak to them without a parable, right, without a parable, you know, in order that they exercise, you know, you could say some discernment and some interest, you know, and like I said before, not to make it seem more like, you know, metaphysical-ish or like some, you know, some spiritual, like, you know, people say, well, he could have spoke it plain, even with the eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. Why didn't he just say it? You know, why didn't he just, yeah, why didn't he just say it? Oh, no, I'm right here. Why didn't he just say it like that? You know, why didn't he just say it like that from the very beginning? Well, it's almost like the psalm that says, who are you, O man? You know, you talk back to John, like you talk to Pops. You know, Daddy Abba knows best, and, you know, and bless. But there's even more of an inner reason for that, and hopefully that will become clear to all. But we have here so far the yemik atel in them hearts, the burnt offerings, or in the Hebrew, the olah. We have the ihlu, right, the ihlu, or the minka, right, which is the meal offering, or sometimes called the meat offering, but not speaking of flesh or debtors, but actually speaking of, you know, choice flour with oil, right? Then also with, you know, no leaven or honey, right, in the meal offering, no leaven or honey, and it had to be seasoned with salt. Reminds me of the New Testament says, always let our speech be with grace, and seasoned with salt, and it says, ye are the salt of the earth. So the meal offerings of first fruits, they had to be, so if a meal offering was fruits, like if a minka offering, an ehilu offering, the grain offering was with fruits, the meal offering, it had to be new ears, parts with fire or grits, the grits of fresh grain. Right, the grits of fresh grain. Then we have the sacrifices of well-being, or what's called the peace offerings, the dechinet in the Amharic, or the shalamim. And remember, a note there, shalamim, literally is like the shalamim, or the making of restitution. It's also known as the making of restitution. Often in the Bible where it says, I'll pay my vows, and to pay, he'll pay them. It has to do in many places with peace. It's interesting. That's why he says, don't think that I give them peace like the world brings peace. Right? So we have the sin offering, the chat'at, right? The chat'at offering. And then here, we kind of already touched on it before, but it was the asham, the guilt offerings. Right? The guilt offerings, which would actually be part of the double of the six-day portion. You know, where the mana was doubled, so we have the sixth and the seventh, and this will be under, like, the seventh, or this part here on the asham, right, the end of the fifth, the end of the sixth, going into the seventh reading, the asham. Asham means guilt in Hebrew. I will never be ashamed. So English has a lot of Hebraicism. English does, you know, a lot of, even in the culture on so many levels, as well as a lot of Afro-Shemitic and the Kushite, Ethiopian, and even Egyptian things within the English language. You know, that goes just into the history of England before the modern English, right? But we have the guilt offerings, which are called the asham. Just thought it was interesting just to know, you know, pick sense out of what seems like nonsense, the shame, asham, right? Asham. For I'm not ashamed, right, of the gospel, it's the power of God. And he who trusts in him, right, believes, but trusts in him shall not be ashamed. And we trust in him by trusting his word. And the word resonates in our thought and in our feeling. And particularly in our feeling. When it resonates in our thought, now the feeling, now she must receive. You know, she must receive so that, you know, that marriage of the spirit and the soul. Right, so the guilt offerings is the asham. Right, they were required when a person was unwittingly remiss about any sacred thing. So that they were unwittingly remiss, like they missed to do something that was holy, right? It was not like an intentional, you know, they intentionally, but like unknowingly, or we might say by accident, right? Now that's called a bedel, the bedel. Now here's what's interesting, the bedel, bedel means wrongdoing. Like we talk about bedachin, you know, like forgive us our, you know, trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, or in a kind of a little better way, forgive us our debts as we, you know, forgive those who, like, owe us debts, you know, or have debts that they owe to us in that sense. So the bedel is actually the wrong and the wrongdoings, right? Literally, be forgive us our wrongdoings as we forgive and let go. Yikrita. I actually was thinking on this in Vayikra. Remember we were talking about how Vayikra, Kara, the Quran, Kara, to call, to read, the Kare, the read, the way it's read, it will differ sometimes from the Ketub, the way it's written. Like we'll read in the English, and it'll say Lord, but we'll say Jah, so the Kare will call out Jah. So in that same sense, but now here looking at the Ethiopian and the Ethiopic Amharic, Yikrita, Yikara, Kara, and Yikar, like to forgive. So when we say Slika, Slika, pardon I, forgive I, or Yikrita, like let it remain, like don't carry that burden, leave it, put that burden down. I'm going to put my burden down by the riverside. You know, remember that song where you say that same idea there. So in such cases, a person had to sacrifice a ram and make restitution, plus 20% to the priest. Similarly, guilt offerings or sham were required when a person dealt deceitfully in or with guile, right, like a doublespeak in the matter of a deposit or a pledge, in the matter of a deposit or a pledge, through robbery, by fraud, or by finding something lost and lying about it, right? You know, lying about it. So I was thinking about early reggae, not early reggae, but, you know, like some of the roots reggae tunes where it's about, like, Wanti Wanti, you know, Gravenous, Gravelicious, Covetous, and a lot of people sing, you know. But you see that in that same sense of how that when the movement of Jah people, even the first light, it was in the same spirit of pointing out these regulations of one to another that, yes, these things will happen. And as the night says that, you know, that one does, you know, make mistakes, and one will make some mistakes and sin, you know, but we always have a chance of forgiveness with the Almighty. So in looking at the guilt offering, and in connecting it with even Vayikra in the word sound, Yika or Yikara, 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 Yikar, 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 which means to forgive, Yikar, you know, Yikar, Yikarita, right? So that guilt. So this is how forgiveness, you know, was done. It wasn't like just somebody say sorry. Like, you don't say sorry, you got to do something. You know, you got to go to the priest, work that out, you know. And then it says right here, it says, in such cases, a person had to sacrifice a ram and make restitution plus 20% to the victim. Notice that. They had to make 20%, right? You know, like that restitution, the sacrifice of the lamb. Remember, the ram. The ram came from their own supply. Or they had to go and with another Israelite or a Hebrew and get a ram, get that animal. You know what I'm saying? But the idea was that when they took this ram from their own supply, they wouldn't have any use of this. And you have to recognize that this is, in real world, this was the money. This was the currency. This was the liberty. This was the sustenance. This is the animals. You know, if somebody was rich, they had a lot of livestock.
Like giving
it,
your car.
Yeah, it would be almost like giving your car or giving a portion of your groceries, you know, giving like almost a portion of grocery, and when it says make restitution, it was also dealing with evaluation of what it was that was done, that was evaluated. You know, that was how much was that? So 20% to the priest, right? Only the courts, right? To the courts, you got to pay your fine to the court, and then a set 20% to the victim, right? A set 20% to the victim right there. I think that is very, very, you know, that is very, very important right there. And sometimes we say, well, how do we teach children this? I think we can basically digest the basic, see, back then, when I say back then, and this is what I mentioned to the brethren, that we live in a world today which we might think it's more difficult. I mean, some for us, in our time, we have to adjust to it. We don't really know consciously the things of the past. But if we start to learn, you know, the past, you know, like we ask, like, why these sacrifices? There's some theories about, you know, what was the purpose of the sacrifices, so forth and so on. Some say it was the world of that time. And in a sense, it was. You see what I'm saying? Right now, people who eat meat, you know, not to condemn, you know, each one have to judge for themselves, but not to condemn ones who eat meat. But you eat any kind of meat, usually you'll go to the store and it's already freshly wrapped and so forth and so on, or they'll cut it for you, and they've drained the blood. They've done all this stuff, right? And now we would talk about how they be butchering animals and in the cruel and inhumane ways, and then also the medical side effects of a lot of that as well. The animals under great fear, they're in filthy places, and when they'll cut up, clean up, sprinkle, spray in the meat, and then you go and eat. So really, you know, when somebody says, one reason why I would say that I would not eat, that is, it's not just out of some Rasta pharisaical sense, but one of the reasons is that I can't be certain about any point in the process, you know, when you really understand what's at stake. But in those days, and even in certain other parts of the world, even in certain other parts of the country, people have to do this themselves. You know, if you grow up in the city seeing chickens like as cartoon animals on TV and Sesame Street, you know, you know, in Sesame Street, right, where Big Bird is a bocce boy, sodomite. But anyway, you know, that you say, oh, it's so cute, and the children laugh. Remember, this is what you're giving, this is what you're feeding them, right? They laugh and feel all great about it, yeah, yeah, right? Then you go down, we're going to go to the farm, right? And we're going to go, you know, go to the country, you know? And so you still eat chicken and stuff like that, right? Like I said, not condemning, but, you know, each one judging themselves. So you eat some chicken, right? So you're on the farm, and no KFC or whatever around anywhere. And the people who live on the farm, they're used to this. Sometimes maybe they partake too. So now the child goes out there and see the chicken get its head cut off and it's running around by the head. They're shocked. And now somehow said, don't show that to my children. Well, yeah, I can understand maybe not showing them too, but you don't ever see that about the cartoons on TV and everything else. So what they're getting is a interpretation of a parable that's a false type that will eventually lead to psychosis, to double-mindedness, to variety of mind controls. You know what I mean? Variety of mind controls. This will lead to even maybe MPD, what they call it, multiple personality disorder, or really I call it MPD, multiple possessive demons. Right, you know, different, because what's happening, you're seeing one thing. Oh, you want to believe the cartoon animal, right? This cat is acting like a dog, and this dog is acting like a cat, and then its personality and psychology is some sick, twisted, maybe a child-molesting human being is behind it in the Babylonian, what you call them, and your child is taking all this in, and then you wonder, well, how come, you know, my child don't listen to me? But the child already has listened to you, and the media that you told the child to watch and listen eventually told them don't listen to them. And he said, you better watch that. The child said, I don't want to watch this no more. You better watch that program. And the program says, don't listen to your parents. And then you're like, child, obey me. I ain't listening to you. You wonder where that happened from. And then now the child thinks, wait, I did what you want me to do, and they told me don't listen to you. Okay, so I freed me up from listening to you. Now you're upset with me because I'm not listening to you. And then you're saying, well, children to listen to their parents and the Lord. Since when you have a relationship with the Lord? You know, you're going to lift that verse out of the Bible. Just obey the parents and honor that mother and father under here and there. But what about this? It says, Daddy, what about this? You don't talk back to me. You know, so if that doesn't create split personalities and psychosis, then what does? The very people who you want to trust and love. You know, and like I said, I'm saying this not to condemn any individual, because, you know, Father has not given me any courts in that sense. You know, nor judgment has not been committed in I and I hands by his Son, whom he has committed all judgment to as of yet. So we're just still in grace, you know, still ministering in grace and looking at some of these sort of situations. But there are ways to teach this, and we just present it right here. Kind of one way is by really understanding, well, what does it say? And how does that relate to the fulfillment? You know, how does that relate to the fulfillment in Christ? And when those who would say, many Christians who used to say, all they tell us now in this Council of Christianity that Jesus died for you, he died for you, but there's a whole context. See, when the Christians said among themselves, he died for us, they understood that, well, we've already been growing. You know, we're faithful and we're maturing, right? We're faithful and maturing, but many Christians get offended by these types, but they remind me of those disciples who were offended when Christ said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, right? Now, if we can overstand and understand that right there, then we should be able to, you know, understand this right here, right now. Looking at the Haftarah portion, but we'll save that for the what if feet, you know, for the moving forward. And there's some other notes here, but let's just meditate on that for a moment. Let's meditate on that for a moment. The five, just think about the five types. Right, the five types of offerings, right, or rather sacrifices, which were offered, right, which were offered, what they represent, and also how they are fulfilled in Christ, and how even in the new covenant, right, in the new covenant, we also fulfill this, right, but in Christ. So the correspondence, you know, the correspondence of that then with this now. A very good example, once again, is John chapter 6. You know, John chapter 6, particularly the comparison of the manna, right? The manna, the bread of Jah life, of Jah liberty in the King of Kings Christ. Aho, shalom, ras, tafari.
מזמור קופלמד שיר המעלות ממעמקים קרביך אדוני אדוני שמעה וקולי תהיינה אוזניך קשובות לכל תחנוני אם עוונות תשמור יה אדוני מי יעמוד כי עמך הצליחה למען תברא. קיוויתי אדוני קיוותה נפשי ולדברו הוחלתי. נפשי לאדוני משומרים לבוקר, שומרים לבוקר. יחל ישראל אל אדוני, כי עם אדוני החסד והרבה עמו פדות, והוא יפדה את ישראל מכל עוונותיו.
Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
מזמור קופלמת שיר המעלות, ממעמקים קראתיך אדוני. אדוני שמעה וקולי, תהיינה אוזניך קשובות לכל תחנוני. אם עוונות תשמור יה, אדוני מי יעמוד? כי עמך הצליחה למען תברא. קיוויתי אדוני קיוותה נפשי ולדברו הוחלתי. נפשי לאדוני משומרים לבוקר, שומרים לבוקר. יחל ישראל אל אדוני, כי עם אדוני החסד והרבה עמו פדות, והוא יפדה את ישראל מכל עוונותיו.
Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
מזמור קופלמת שיר המעלות, ממעמקים קראתיך אדוני. אדוני שמעה וקולי, תהיינה אוזניך קשובות לכל תחנוני. אם עוונות תשמור יה, אדוני מי יעמוד? כי עמך הצליחה למען תברא. קיוויתי אדוני קיוותה נפשי ולדברו הוחלתי. נפשי לאדוני משומרים לבוקר, שומרים לבוקר. יחל ישראל אל אדוני, כי עם אדוני החסד והרבה עמו פדות, והוא יפדה את ישראל מכל עוונותיו.
Yes, yes, yes. חברים, חברים, right here, here, here. Psalm for this first day right here, here on the air, when we're at March 26th of March, you know, for the first day, the Sunday here on the first day service, aka the Sunday service on 130, because actually sometime when we go through the Psalms, we're going through the Psalm for the day that has already passed. Hopefully we'll start to go in the Psalm for the upcoming day. So right here we have Psalm 130, Mizmor Kof Lamed, Psalm CXX, and it seemed a sinner's cry. Just a kind of overview and a little bit of connectivity with this psalm here in the season from the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, the order, the number, Psalm 130.
Now, what's interesting is that the evening psalms, the standing psalms for, like, say, the first day, Psalm 24, second day, called Monday, Psalm 48, you know, then we go to 82 and so forth and so on. And we come to the Sabbath, you know, the Shabbat psalm, which is Psalm 92, give thanks to Army Gideon and Ras Anbesa for that Shabbat, you know, Shabbat Shalom, Senbet Salam, yes, I. But here in the season, we're in the third book of Moses that is called Leviticus. Leviticus. And Leviticus is also known as the handbook of the priests. Now, where do we get the name Leviticus from? Because in the Hebrew, we refer to it as the Sefer Vayikra. Or Sefer Vayikra, Yikra, Karat, call, and he called out. Now, Kara is interesting. It means to call out. It means to call by name, in a sense, and it also can mean to read, in a sense, to Kara, Kara. But this context here for the third book of Moshe, the Hebrew book of Leviticus, Wa and Yikra, Vayikra. Modern Hebrew, they'll say Vayikra, Vayikra. In the ancient pointing, Wa and Yikra, and he called, because Jehovah's calling out of the sanctuary of the Ohel Moed, the tabernacle that has just been pitched, and the glory has come forward, and such glory and smoke was there that no one could enter in. But Moshe here in the third book was called out, you know, like a shout out. Josh shouted him out, called him out. So here, what we have in the content does reflect what we also have here, according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, with Psalm 130, that roughly comes up in this season. Here, for the season right now, you know, different years, different time, according to lunar solar. So it's interesting which psalms rise for what times and how the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrew Psalms has an interesting reflectivity with the Torah reading and feedings. Right, but here we have a sinner's cry in Mizmor Kof Lameh. The psalm, the Mizmor, a chant, like a chant, an intonation, different than a shir. A shir is like a song, but it's one of the songs of degrees, the shir ha-ma'alot, the ma'alot, ma'alot, to Allah, Allah, to Aliyah, to go up. This psalm is best understood as an expression of remorse for chet in the Hebrew, chet or chatat, Amharic would say chatiat, for sin, for akri, for forfeiture, for missing the mark. Come from the Hebrew Afro-Shemitic root to like miss, be caught lacking, and a plea for forgiveness. Bamarinya and Amharic would say yikrita, and then we went into a little bit of kind of the Afro-Semitic, you know, word sound between yikrita, to kara or kara, and the kara in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew for forgiveness, we'll say slicha, or some modern speakers, like some of the Hebrews, like they'll say salakia, to say like excuse me or forgive me. But in the Hebrew, we have slicha, forgiveness, right? So here we have a psalm being understood in the context of being an expression, word, sound, of remorse for chatiat, for chet, for being caught lacking, missing the mark. And it's a plea for salicha, for forgiveness, for yiklita, on the part of an individual Israelite, an indivisible, dual, individual Israelite. Although it is a personal confession and tefillah, personal confessing, key themes here in this 24th sabbatical study. Key themes, forgiveness, key themes of chatiat, chet, sin, caught lacking, what to do about it. Forgiveness, right? Confessing, right? Confessing. He who covers up his chet, his sin, his akri, will not prosper. But he who confesseth and forsaketh and leaveth alone shall receive mercy. So we have a personal confession and a tefillah and a prayer. He is the spokesman of Ammo, of his people. And the hardships he is enduring are due to national distress. So the connection of an individual prayer, right? So the indivisible dual is like the I and I. So it's one I that's praying for the I, but also for I and I in that sense. Ani va'ani, ani wa'ani. So he's a spokesman of Amo, Amo Yisrael, Amo, the people, Am, Ha'am, the people, Amo, his people, Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel. And the hardships he is undergoing are due to national distress. So it's like he's praying for the I himself, but also for I and I. So it's the I and I as one in this kind of an active sense, Hebraically, of that Hebrew concept, the original concept of the I and I, where the I is praying for I and I, because all the I and I are in the same condition. So the I is a spokesman for I and I. This psalm here, 130, the composition has probably to be connected, some say, with the time of Nehemiah, got a heal up, international chaplain, constitutional membership, first unit, Ethiopian World Federation, got a heal up, Rasa Seymour, you know, because we're just reasoning on that. Hopefully we'll get that up on the Rastafari Jews. Speaking about Genesis 6 and 6, where it says that the Lord, he repented. I try to tell ones, it's not the same word as repent as you find other places, like in the New Testament, Teshuvah is really Naham. And what's interesting about the word naham, it can mean to sigh, naham, or to breathe hard. There's a positive sense, the Hebrew two truths. There's a favorable and unfavorable sense. Like you hear about something, you go, you sigh hard, and you pity. You almost like, in a sense, can feel sorry for yourself because, wow, you might have given somebody credit, and you found out they were incredible. In other words, you gave them faith, and you found out that they were faithless, you know? And so, therefore, there's that sigh. Or it could be a situation where you sigh, and now you must ease yourself, comfort yourself, even in a contextual sense, avenge yourself. You know what I mean? They took one's kindness or weakness, that kind of scenario right there. But the context of Elohim, of Yahweh Eloheinu in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, repenting. People say, oh, he must have done something wrong. That's why you repent. No. In the Hebrew, it's the naham. 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 In fact, the sound of it almost brings out that actual expression. So we have Nehemiah. So I made a mention that naham, that sense of repent, as it's translated in the KJV in many places, can be dubious if you're thinking about in a New Testament Christianity sense of repentance. That repentance there is making a change of mind, a change of action, you know, a change of feeling or even emotion, getting to the very heart and soul of the matter. So this composition, Psalm 130, is said to be connected with the time of Nehemiah. And the troubles that arose from the Samaritan intrigues, like the people were looking for, in a sense, like repatriation as ones that were trying to stop them. They was returning to the land and trying to rebuild their national life and liberty after the Babylonian exile. And there was others amongst them that was trying to stumble their steps. In other words, the Samaritan intrigue. Not the good Samaritans. These were not good Samaritans. Pointed out. In fact, when Rabbeinu Yeshua mentioned about the Good Samaritan, what he was implying is that even from some wicked, ratchet people, occasionally you can have one person that is good, and your people who are supposed to be righteous have turned ratchet. That's the context of the Good Samaritan. But here, when we get the Old Testament context, we can see why he would say the Good Samaritan. Something about Malcolm X, something like a good white man. He said, a good white man, you know. I think he mentioned John Brown. That's the context of it. But this psalm here speaks on how Elohim is forgiving, you know. Also, it speaks on how one is actually waiting that kind of deliverance. What they're actually awaiting is that they've gone through the proper process, and sometimes people are waiting for their conscience to clear. You know what I mean? You know, you've done something. You've done the right thing. Maybe you apologize, and maybe you're waiting for the person in their own due time, you know, to kind of let it go, you know, and that's the principle there. But here, in the context of the Torah, it's telling us specifically forgiveness. There's a forgiveness teaching here that's not like the idle words of forgiveness that people use nowadays. As we get to the third to the fourth verse, especially zooming in here, it says, if thou, O Lord, should mark iniquities. Actually, let me point this out. In Psalm 130, verse 3, in the Hebrew, it would more better read, if thou, Jah, shouldest mark iniquities, Adonai, O Adonai, who could stand? Here we have Im, Evonot, Tishmar, Yah, Im, Evonot, Tishmar, Yah, there is Jah. So it's not Lord in the sense of Yahuwah, Jehovah in that sense, but it's Jah, right? If thou, O Jah, shouldest mark iniquities. In modern Hebrew, we'll call it Evonot. Avon, iniquity, Avon or Evonot. More ancient Afro-Shemitic pointing, Aonot. It comes from Aon, right, or Avon, which basically means like moral twistedness, moral perversity. And not just speaking in terms as Gentile, white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, Christian, always speak about things like it's as be sexual or something like that, but it's just perversity is a feeling, mixed up moods and attitudes on those levels, that which is moral perversion or twistedness, right, in the fullest aspects. He says, im, onot, tishmar, shamar, the very same word we say when we say shomer shabbat, shomer, one who guards, or shomer Yisrael, the one who guards, who hedges about Israel. So the words like keep, protect, to guard, to hedge about, literally, it goes back to the most primitive sense of hedging something about. If you have a garden and you put some hedge of thorns about it to discourage certain wild animals from messing with your garden, right? So you put some hedges, or even people, you know what I mean, who can be like wild animals sometimes. You put the hedges. So here, when it says Tishmar Yah, if you were to guard, right, like guard in the sense of hedge about, that means you've done this. I'm gonna put this over here in protective custody as a witness of what you did. I'm gonna take this that you did and put this over here in a protective custody, hedge it about, protect it and guard it. What does the psalmist say right here? He says, Adonai, mi ya'amod, mi ya'amod, mi ya'amod, mi who, ya'amod, mi ya'amod, ya'amod, who can stand in the judgment? When we talk about, the wicked cannot, in Psalm 1, cannot stand, in the judgment. Who can stand? So this verse here, mark here in the Hebrew sense, tishmar, is to take account of, right? And kind of almost in a sense like treasure it, keep it, pardon can only ensue. Pardon, another word for pardon Hebraically also is forgiveness. Forgiveness can only ensue from Elohim's clemency. This is why in the Brit Chadasha you have some Yehudi saying concerning Robeinu Yeshua, the King of Kings Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, saying, this man is forgiving sins? Because the context of it was strictly forgiveness. Even when you wrong your neighbor, first you have to offer the appropriate offering to Yah, to Jah, and then you also have to right your neighbor for the wrong, plus add to that a fifth, or 20% of the value. So if you stole $100 from your neighbor, right, you can't just say, oh, man, oh, John, why did I do that? That's so bad. Tell your neighbor, I'm sorry, and then go make an offering. That would be ratchet and uck, and if the priest is doing their job, they would not accept it, because the very same day, you have to make restitution, because you have to shalem in order to make shalom. You have to pay. You have to make that person whole for what went on there. Right. So what we have right here is the sense of pardon and forgiveness. But of course, we can and we should pardon and forgive one another. Let it go. Basically, let it go. You don't hold on to it. where people hold on to things for years. Because, and that's why I talked about in the audible previous from a couple of years ago, it becomes like psychotic states of mind, almost like not, you know, demon possession with certain exaggerations, not spooks and spirits in that sense, but certain exaggerated things. You over-exaggerate. You know, you ever have someone who go through something and you know it was bad, but they keep talking about it over and over. Then after a while, you recognize, wait, I was there with you when it first happened. You're just adding on to this. You're making this much worse than before. See, so forgiveness, just a point on forgiveness. And in the Amharic, yikarta, sounds a little like Wayikra, right? Yikarta. But it comes from kara. Kara means to leave it alone, leave it behind. Very good example that certain Ethiopians gave to us from years ago was a tradition where somebody wronged somebody, and they would go to say, I would go to my brother and I wronged him. I said something bad about him and shamed him. So I'd go put a stone on my shoulder and go to him. And when I come to his gates or whatnot, you know, if he forgives me, hopefully he'll take the stone and put it down and we'll sit down and maybe eat some injera and some wet, you know, some food or whatnot like that, or reason, you know. But I would put that stone on my shoulder. There was that tradition, Ethiopian tradition, you know what I mean, where you're allowing now the other person to take that stone where they can use to stone you, even according to Torah, depends on what it is, and they put it down. You know what I mean? And so that's the sense of forgiveness, letting it go, leaving it behind. The word Yah that we have, different words are employed for Lord in verse 3 of Psalm 130. Different words. We have different words employed for Lord. And this is what usually happens in King James Version. We see Lord, capital L-O-R-D. We see Lord, lower L-O-R-D. Usually it's Yahuwah and Adonai. Here it's Yah and Adonai. Im evono tishmar Yah Adonai miya Yahmod. If thou, Jah, shouldest mark iniquities, moral perversities, Adonai, Adonai, who could stand? So different words are employed. The first is Yah, is Jah. Now, why is Yah or Jah significant? From the Hebrew context, studying the scripts, the scrolls, and the ancient culture and history, Yah is the designation of Ha-Elohim, of Ha-Elohim, of the power, the Almighty, as the Savior, the Moshiach, right? Not Mashiach. Mashiach is Messiah, Moshiach, right? Moshiach is Savior, the Savior of Yisrael. How do we know this? Reference to Shemot or Exodus chapter 15 verse 2, where we have the name Yah being employed. So for the Hebrews, they understood that there's the full name, the full tetragrammaton, four letters, so to speak, and then there is the so-called short form that signifies the Savior of Yisrael. Now the second name for Lord is Adonai, Adonai. Adonai, it is often translated or brought out as like my master, my sovereign, right? Expressing dependence upon his kindness, as we would say even in the old days of the king's music, O Lord of his mercy. In that sense, Adonai, Lord of mercy. Who could stand? Who could stand before divine tribunal, divine trial? Because one thing that men and people, you know, they only can see what men and people can see. Right. But if you're conscious of the Almighty in your consciousness, you know that he sees, right, what men and people don't see. So who could stand before the divine tribunal and endure the ordeal, right, the ordeal of judgment? Second part of this verse here connected with this Torah reading and feeding right here. For with thee there is forgiveness that thou mayest be feared. For with the eye there is forgiveness that thou mayest be feared. Now let me do something right here, brothers and sisters. I want to bring this up in the Royal Amharic as well, right? This particular verse here. So we're in Psalm 130, Meto Salasa, Salasa 30, right? So let's go to Psalm 130 here in a hard copy. And yes, brothers and sisters, going to seek to do more to get some more prints of full Amharic King of Kings Bible, because the Ethiopians and them in Kenya, they're not printing it anymore. But that's good, because now it belongs to I, the called, chosen, and faithful. So let's get together and get this work, put in this work, right? So here, Bamrinya, it says, Yikarta, Yikarta, Ka'anta Zen Nawina, Yikarta, 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 forgiveness, Ka'anta Zen Nawina. Now, what's interesting is that in the Hebrew, there's another part of the verse, but it's not there. But there's elsewhere where it speaks about the sustainer, Exiavia, Yahweh, being feared, and it uses the root that comes down to the man-child's name, Teferi, in the sense of Tefera, 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 to be reverence, respected. But here from the Hebrew, what is read right here says Ki, Imka, Ha, Saliha. For with thee, ki, for, imcha, or imcha, modern Hebrew, ki ya imcha, ki imcha, more ancient pointing, ki ya imcha, ki imcha, ha saliha, ha the saliha, saliha, the forgiveness, as we have this here also in this Torah reading and feeding, after different proper offerings were offered, and restoration was done to the wrong party or individual, right? Then the priest then could pronounce that you are forgiven. He could then pronounce Saliha or Slika, Saliha, after one had offered, right, to Hashem, to Jehovah, but also on the very same day made restitution, right, to the wronged or the injured party, plus a fifth, which would be 20% of the value. So if I took something from somebody and it was $100 and I owe them, I didn't owe them, then that my conscience got to me. So I then, you know, go to Jah on that day, I should also restore at least $120, right, to the person that I may have taken that $100. Just a point of principle. And then by doing that and accomplishing that, then the priest is in his right, according to HaTorah, to pronounce forgiveness. But check this. Sometimes we talk about forgiveness, we have this sense of, oh, I don't feel forgiven. Notice that feelings and all these things don't come into it. The thing is, you've done, according to HaTorah and according to the covenant, that which was proper, both to God, as one would say, and to man. You can't just go to God and say, well, God know my heart. God know I gave the offering. But you get offering why? Because I stole from you, but you didn't give me back what you stole plus my fifth, my 20%. And it's not about greed. Oh, forget about it. It's just money. No. Stop. That's ratchet. That's uck. Most of the Torah, when it talk about sin, it's talking about bad business, bad transaction. And yes, it deals with other things, you know, other improprieties, other uckeries. But people focus on those other things, but they read the Torah, it basically speaks about bad business, right? Bad business. You wonder why the others are more effective in their society? Because they don't just read the cover story. They study to shew themselves approved, even in our way, truth and life. That thou mayest be feared. That's why Yeshua said, you know, if they bid you, you know, the other Jews, if they bid you, observe and do, but don't do after their works. Check. Lima'an tiware. Lima'an tiware. Modern Hebrew, lima'an tiware. 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 That thou mayest be reverenced, respected. So here we have, right, answering to the point that's raised in verse 3. If thou, Jah, shouldest mark, shouldest keep, you know what I mean, shouldest observe iniquities, moral perversities. Oh, Adonai, who could stand, right? For with thee. So the four here, more better here is would be but. The im is like but or however. Im, evono, tishmarya, right? If, right? But here we have ki, for, right? Some say maybe but. However, on the other hand, answering to the point raised in the previous verse, conscious of Hatiyat. Now, it's even the point about consciousness and conscious that I've missed the mark. I've fallen short. Yeah, I didn't know. It wasn't my intention. You remember in the Torah reading, it said if one has done something and they don't know, that they have done it, you know, and it has not been brought to their attention. So this means that iron sharpens iron, being our brother's keeper, we bring it to one's attention. Some people say, oh, he know he did some wrong. She knows she did some wrong. I won't say nothing about it. That's ratchet as uck. You wonder why the bird can't take off? The bird has to cleanse out so that it can get lift, get too much weight when it's carrying. Right? Consciousness of Chatiyat, he and I and I yet plead with Ha'ilahim because he is forgiving and does not mark. Right? He does not mark iniquity. He doesn't store it up. As I said, if you were to keep the guard, right, the ukkeries, all our ukkeries, who could stand? Right? With thee, note the key right here, it says for with thee, right? With thee is a personal relationship, an I and I with Almighty I relationship, that thou mayest be feared, that thou mayest be reverenced, respected. And what is fear truly? Not the fear of the world, the phobos of the world, right? It's having a kind of a reverence of Jah coupled with a hatred of evil, a repulsion of that which is evil or that which is ra'ah according to his standard. This is a full sense. I would do that because I respect Jah. I won't do that. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I repulse that. Even though knowing myself, I kind of like that, I'm going to push that away, you know, because I know that this will dishonor him, especially I and I have the new name, precious name. Jah pardons and removes the penalty of Chatiyat and turn man's heart towards him in reverence, in respect, so that a man becomes a chassid, right? A chassid, as I and I, Rastafari chassidim, the chassidim, chassid, one who has received grace and loving kindness, even though we know we were not worthy of it. You know, if it wasn't for the grace of Yah, of Jah, there goes I and I and I and I. Just a little word right here, seeing that forgiveness is a very important aspect that is found even in the sacrificial, you know, practices and the order that's described here in HaTorah.
Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. 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 Shabbat strong.
So right there, Psalm 130. Right there, Psalm 130. So, yeah, go through some of the verses in the previous Torah reading and feeding the first, was it three chapters? Go through those, actually six chapters. I think it was on chapter three or so. But go through those chapters there, the first six chapters, and just look up the areas of forgiveness and see the context of forgiveness and recognize forgiveness wasn't about a feeling or emotion. You know, it's about doing what is right. You know, like if one took something from one and Jah says, give that back plus 20% of the value, somebody saying, well, still, I can't believe he took that. See, that's another spirit there, you know, and that's outside of the covenant. You know what I'm saying? You know, one has done, you know, those feelings and emotions, sometimes one has to recognize how sometimes feelings and emotions can have demonic, when I say demonic, exaggerated. Can be exaggeration, harmful and hurtful exaggerations. I say that because in the Ethiopic and studying some of the words that are translated as demons and studying the etymology comes from a root idea that means exaggeration in the archaic Amharic sense. But here, let's touch on this right here for Vayikra, for the Shabbat, Vayikra, Sabbath, Shabbat, Vayikra, picking up with Leviticus, third book of Moses, handbook of the priest, known as Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 1 to chapter 6, verse 7. Just on that whole idea of Leviticus, where do we get Leviticus from? Well, Leviticus is derived from the coin of the common Greek of the Septuagint, the LXX version of the ancient Torah, right? And the book of Leviticus is predominantly concerned with Levitical or the rites and rituals of the Levites and the Kohanim and the priests. An older Hebrew name for the book is said to be the laws, the Torot, the Torahs or the directions, instructions the Torot of the Kahuna, the laws, direction, instruction of the priesthood. So let's go through some basic Q&As right here for a little bit of time we have here, here, here. All right, coming to the first day. Basic questions, some basic questions, some BQs here. We got like 16 of them. So let's go through it. Chabarim. Question number one for Shabbat, wa yikra. Sabbath and wa yikra, he called. What other names are common for the book of Leviticus? What other names? Other names of the book of Leviticus? Some refer to it as the book of sacrifices, others as the law, the Torot of the Kohanim, of the priesthood. And also Hebraically, we say the Sefer Vayikra, because the key first words, the main, the distinctive word, Vayikra, Sefer, the book, the cipher, and he called. Question number two, what does the word Arban, or also pointed in the Hebrew dialect, some dialects Arban, some speakers as Korban. The more common dialect is Korban, right? So what does the word Korban in the English dialect? What does Korban mean? What does Korban mean? Well, the word Korban, it's a general word, a Hebrew word for offering or gifts. Generally speaking, Korban, coming from its Afro-Shemitic, you could say roots, is a general word for offering or gift. But it comes from the Hebrew root karov. Karov from karab. Karab. We have in them hard karab for a similar root sense. We have karov, which means to come near, to draw near. So korban is an offering that is brought near. Bringing out the sense from the root idea of the word, it's an offering, yes, right, that is brought near, korban. Question number three, what kinds of animals, living creatures, could be offered at HaMishkan, at the Mishkan? Let me say this again, that the key word in Leviticus is if. I just want to point it out, because people think that this was like Jah forced them. No, it's just if. He already knew that they were caught up, you know, in sacrifices and playing church. So if you're going to sacrifice and play church and be in my covenant, then do it this way. Right? If not, well, and then that's the whole story of, you know, 400 plus years, right? Question number three, what kind of animals could be offered at HaMishkan? Defect-free cattle, right? Oxen, a bull or a cow, that means the male or the female, accordingly. A sheep, that means the male and the female, the ram or the ewe. Or goats, the male and the female, a buck or a doe. The poor now, ones who, remember, they had to offer, when they offered, they had to offer it from their own. You could say from their own supply. So where in one of the audibles it says that, you know, that whole idea about utility, it's like sacrificing that utility. You know, I'm going to give this, you know, like when a chief man has to give an offering, you know, that bull, he could use that for something else. But if his uckery, if his violation is such, this was also to teach, right? Now, the poor, on the other hand, could offer turtle doves, pigeons. Right, turtle doves or pigeons. And even if they could not really even afford that, there's even a mention in HaTorah about grain. Right, so it was based on what they had, not what they did not have. Right, you know what I mean? They say that crime doesn't pay. Well, in this sense, the Hatiyat, one had to pay. And according to the ancient understanding, primitive understanding of sacrifice, Yahuwah, Jehovah gave the molten calf worshiping Israelites out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. He gave them a rule and regulation that if you do it, then do it like this. Since you like to sacrifice, then sacrifice like this. But he did not command it in that sense from the very beginning. The people basically showed their lack, and this was to fill in their lack. Fourth question, what was forbidden to be offered with grain offering? With the grain offering, what was forbidden? Chametz is leaven or yeast. Chametz, leaven, and davash or dabash, davash. Davash is honey, dabash, honey. So leaven, chametz, and davash, honey, were forbidden since both of these induce fermentation. Now, within the ancient primitive sense, what does that mean? Fermentation basically means death or decay, right? Fermentation. So why that was not offered, right? Of course, you could eat bread at different times and season that, you know, like dough that rises and all that. But as far as an offering, no chametz, leaven, and davash, because both induced fermentation. And according to the ancient sign and symbol, that was a sign of decay and death. Fifth question here for Shabbat, Vayikra. What additional ingredient was required to be added to all offerings? And lama, for what or why? Lemindino, for what reason? Melach, in the Hebrew, melach, bamarinya to, but here the Hebrew melach, or salt, because it preserved the offering and prevented rottening. It prevented decay that symbolizes death. So all the offering, right, had to be offered. That's what it says, like, you want the offering to be seasoned with salt. Oh, habarim. Remind I, there's Yeshua is reasoning with them in the Brit Chadasha, and he actually quotes that part about all offering seasoned with salt. It's kind of interesting. I want us to reason on that right there. But salt was what other ingredient, additional ingredient that was required to be added to all offerings. Melach, salt. Why? Because it preserved the offering and prevented rottening. And, or the fermentating, rottening. And the rottening was decay. And decay symbolized death. Right? Going back to the ancient, primitive, first-time word pictures, because today we lose sight of the principles. So for the time that this was in, this was very advanced for the time. Right? That's what led us and leads us here to the new covenant, the Brit Chadasha sense. But before we get full there, let's go here. Question 6. What is an ola? Ola. What's an ola? What's an ola offering? An ola offering, ola. Ola has a sense of like ascension, going up. Allah, from the verb root Allah, ola, that which goes up. It's a whole burnt offering, but more of the details, it's a male whole burnt offering. That means that the entire offering is consumed in the fire. An ascending offering, so ola, that come from Allah, which is go up, ola, right? I know it sounds like the name for the Mohammedan, you know, God and everything like that, but it's actually an ayin, not an aleph, right? It's not Allah, but it's ola, like the aliyah, going up. So this kind of offering is described as an ascending offering, a fire offering of a sweet savor to Hailahim. So the idea is that when it's offered, it goes up in the fire, the flames ascend, the smoke ascend, even the Aishans, that it goes up. You know, the idea of it going up, that ascending. Actually, it's a transmutation from one state, from a thigh cycle state to a spirit to say ear state, from the natural state transmuting it to the next state or to the spiritual. Literally, it was to the spiritual, and literally it is in that context spiritual because of the transmutation from the so-called fire cycle state by way of the fire to a spiritual state, the sweet savor, the smell, the smoke. So we give Jah all that smoke. I don't know why they say they won't give people smoke. If I give anybody, I give them fire instead of smoke. But anyway, because fire is the word. But question number 7 right here. What is a mincha, or some modern Jews and Hebrew speakers will say mincha. What's a mincha offering? But actually, ancient pointing, a mincha, What's a mincha offering or a minka offering? Unleavened grain offering. So grain that's not leavened, an unleavened grain offering that could be mixed with five different kinds of oil and spices. So here we have the minka offering, the mincha offering. And the minka offering is an unleavened grain offering that could be mixed with five different kinds of oils and spices. Note that there's five different kinds of animal offerings too. A portion of the grain, but this is a grain offering. Using the King James Version of the Bible, they translate this as a meat offering. It's an amazing pun, because actually there's no meat in it. There's no debtors or flesh. It's the old English sense of meal, in the sense of meat was what you eat, and it wasn't always debtors. See how things have changed from then to now? So actually this is a bloodless offering. A portion of the grain was burnt. A handful, the priest would take the azkara, right? A portion of the grain, right, was burnt on the mizbeach, the altar. And the rest of that offering, that gift, was donated to HaKohanim, was donated to the priest, was donated to the Kohanim. The grain offering mincha, the minka, was often given by the poor. So usually those who didn't have flocks and cattle, this would be the offering of choice, right, by them, what they could afford and what they could give. Question number 8 for Shabbat, Wayikra, Sabbath, Wayikra. Right. Question 8. What is special about a shelamim? In the Hebrew, shelamim, a peace offering. Bamarinya is the dechinet mesuait, dechinet for denna, for well-being. A well-being offering, a shelamim, peace offering. What was so special about it? Answer. Everyone, her body, everyone benefited from it. Everyone benefited from it. For example, the blood and the fat went to HaMizbeach, went to the fire to be burnt. The breast and the thigh went to the priest, HaKohanim, right? Maybe this is what they say when they say an arm and a leg, in a sense, you think? A breast and the thigh, right? And the hide and flesh, it went to the owner. So the hide of the animal and the flesh of the animal went to the owner. Right, who shared them with his family, his mishpacha, his family circle, his family, his clan, and friends in a communion meal. So everyone stopped. It's like when one say about Africans. The Africans wasn't like these latter-day Europeans. They kill an animal and they just take the horns and leave the animal to rot on the ground. No, they use every part of it. So we can see that the Afro-Shemitic people known as the biblical Hebrews, they also were even commanded to do likewise. Question number 9. What part of the animal sacrifice always, Zaweta, belongs to Xiabi, belongs to Hailahim? The Cheleb, modern Hebrew, Cheleb, the fat, the Cheleb. As it says in Wayikra, Leviticus 3:11, all the fat is Yahuwah's, all the Cheleb is Yahuwah's, offered to Jehovah, right? In other words, by way of the fire, is burnt up. Question number 10, what was done with the blood of the sacrifice animals? A lot of people like to say, oh, look at those Hebrews, those Israelites, they blood, there's blood everywhere. Those people are lying or just goofy, silly. It's silly because if you're going to say something, then say it with, you know, with evidence, with fact. But what was done with the blood, right? We know what a lot of different tribal people from east to west, north to south have done, for better or for worse, but according to HaTorah, what was to be done with the blood? It was sprinkled around the mizbeach, the altar, and sometimes applied to the horns of the altar. On the Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, blood was applied to the horn of the altar of Aishans. Only on that day was blood now applied to the Aishans altar. Otherwise, it was that Aishans, and that one of the ingredients was the Kana Bosa, right? But only on the Day of Atonement was blood applied to the horns of the altar, the golden altar of Ishans. And the blood also was dashed or sprinkled upon the Kaporet. The Kaporet is the mercy seat, seven times. So according to HaTorah, the blood sometimes applied to the horns of the brazen altar, but it was to be poured at the bottom of the altar. It's reported, basically returned to the ground, returned to the earth, as it were. Question number 11. Question 11. We're there. Question 11. What two animal products are we forbidden to eat? Were the Israelites forbidden to eat? What two animal products? Most of I and I don't eat debtors, but what two animal products? That'll make me better, but that's just, you know, growing, you know? What two animal products were forbidden to eat? HaTorah states, we may not eat blood or chaleb, right? Chaleb, right? Fat. It's interesting, people become all health conscious. They talk about trans fats, this and that and the next thing. And it's kind of interesting right here because there seems to be a real emphasis, right, on job people not eating blood. But let's be honest. Do we have tribes of other Afro people who might not be Afro-Shemitic, but they are still Afro, so we share that in common, who do engage in blood drinking rites and rituals, right? This is not a condemnation per se, right? But it is a judgment. Go figure. You know what I mean? So other tribes, you see other African tribes do engage in that just to show the similarities, right, of practice, but also the differences, right, within the rite, right, and the ritual, according to HaTorah, right? And now notice this, from there, in the Brit Chadasha, we now hopefully can grow and can see the symbolisms of this, the higher psychological states, you know, if we can grow. You know what I mean? The difference between man and the animals, right, is that man has the power of logic, the power, whether he uses it or not is a whole different thing. He has the power of logic, the power of reason, the power of word, and also a power of creation. So question number 12. Who must bring a chatat, a akri offering, a sin offering, a lack offering? Who must? Anyone who sinned or ucked up, right, fell short, missed the mark, right, by oversight or without willful intent. So in this context, in this sense, we could say that one who had done something, in a sense, unknowingly or accidentally, you know, and it seems to be a key that had to be told to them. If we knew our brother had made a mistake in the offering and the rite and the ritual, and we're sitting back and say, he should know better, he should know what he did, and we're not going to say anything, we don't wait for him to discover it, we are actually the guilty party in that context right there. But anyone who, by oversight or without willful intent, now, that brings another question. We're not going to go into this question, but just lay it on the beamer right here, right? What if somebody did it with willful intent? You know, that's why it says that it's not an offering for some trespasses. You know, for some trespasses, there is no offering. But anyone who, by oversight, whether it was a priest, a headman, whether it was the whole congregation, you know, without willful intent, Or King James Bible say wist not, like knew not, must bring a chatat. Question number 13, can grain be given as chatat, as a sin offering? Can grain be given? Because usually it seems like an animal or something. A big man have to give a big animal, a bull or something, you know, like that. Regular man, you know, a goat, a female goat, a male bull for the big man, female goat for regular people. What about giving grain? Could grain be given? Yes, cane, right? Though no oil, Here's the key difference with the other offering, right? The mincha offering. Grain could be given for chatat, for sin, for akri offering, though no oil, no anointing, or frankincense may be mixed with the unleavened fine flour. Or note here too, it might not come out in the KJV some places, but there is two main kind of incense that are specified, the holy eishens that contain the kanabosa, right, as one of the ingredients. And for other more regular practices, there is the libona, which brings out the sense of the frankincense. It is the frankincense. So it does specifically say frankincense in these offerings. And when it says eishens, it's not the kanabosa. That was only for the golden altar inside the tent, right, for that communion. Question 14, when an animal was to be sacrificed, why were both hands placed on its head? When an animal was to be slaughtered, right, zebach, right, why was both hands, you know, almost like when we put our hands together and make that kind of Trinity sign, but in this case, you put both hands on the head of the animal in a said way. Why were both hands? To symbolize that it is a substitute for the person who brought it. It's a substitute for whoever brought it forward. So you lay both hands on the animal and you will confess exactly the reason that you're there offering this animal. After you do that, the priest will hold the bowl for the blood and give you the instrument to cut from ear to ear. And then you will do it, right? And he will catch the blood, put the blood on the appropriate spots, pour the rest in the ground, and then the rest of the rite and ritual, according to HaTorah, would go through. So that was to symbolize that the animal was a substitute. If it was not for the grace of Yahweh Eloheinu, right, there goes the eye. So if you talk about like human sacrifice, so forth and so on, it's interesting because when a person does a wrong, think about it, shouldn't they? Why would this innocent animal be offered or even accepted by the good father, the holy Ab? Because of that reason there, the animal is innocent and the animal is created for you. So I'll spare you because of the innocence of the animal, you know, but take note, that right there is in place of you right there. Question number 15. You know, that was the intent. But, you know, men and people, it becomes like a barbecue after a while. You know, people, you know, they go off, right? Question number 15, what is distinctive about a guilt offering known as a sham offering, right? Or if you read it in the English way, a shame, a sham, but more correctly pronounced, a sham, the guilt or the trespass offering, right? What is distinctive about an asham, a guilt offering, is the restitution that had to be made. According to King James Version, says a fifth, and that is usually about 20% along with the sacrifice. So with the asham, with the trespass or the guilt offering, one had to offer the offering to Yahuwah, to Hashem, to Jah, and also make restitution to the wrong party, right? Plus that was the 20%, right? The 20% along with the sacrifice. Question number 16, what percentage of the 613, they say laws, but more correctly, directions, instructions of HaTorah are given in the book of Leviticus? What percentage of what is called the 613 they say laws, it's kind of commandments, direction, instructions. We can get into that detail right there. But what percentage of the 613? Over 40%. So when we know that Yeshua came to do away with that typology and bring us into the higher reality, know ye not that we are the temple, the corporate body, of which Moshiach is the Rosh, the Ras, the head, you know? Know ye not that your body is the temple if his Holy Spirit is sojourning and tabernacling there? So over 40% of what's called the 613. Now, there's some
additional right here. Don't have time to get into it, but Ja Will and I live. I and I gather together to gather on the air, deal with some of the reasoning, topics of discussion that we have to share. But let's even just reason on some of the Q&As right there as well. But the theme about forgiveness, I think, is very, very interesting. You know, especially I've heard one say that they didn't feel forgiven. You know what I mean? And we notice that there's no such thing, you know, the priest proclaims your forgiveness. It's like with Yeshua. But notice before Yeshua did some things for people, he asked, do you have faith that I am he? And, you know, he had to check them first, you know, on that. Because when he said, go, you know, be blessed, be healed, so forth and so on, nobody ever mentioned about how they felt. You know what I mean? So feelings make for good servants. If you train them well, feelings can make for good servants, but feelings are poor, 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 and bad masters. So yes, in grace and in truth, yes, I, Rastafari. Jah bless the eye, keep the eye, brothers and sisters at home and abroad, near and far. Jah bless the eye, keep the eye, cause his face is gracious, shine on the eye, give the eye Yeshua, shalom, victory, overcoming, shalom, in the eye's head, heart, and in the eye's home. Yes, I'm going to ride up right here on the outro right here with Psalm 67 for the Shabbat seal, Sabbath seal psalm right here, because it contains a priestly baraka. You know, of course, his face, his grace to shine. Not even upon us here. It actually, in the Hebrew, is towards us, like to us, even a more intimate connection of his interface in I and I life and liberty. May we see it Yahweh, truth and life. See it his way, face to face. Yes, I, Yahweh, Yahweh. Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
What's up?
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously, and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, shall fear him, shall fear him, shall fear him, shall fear him. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health, thy saving health, thy saving health, thy saving. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, 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 shall fear him. Psalm 68.
God be merciful unto us and bless us. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah.
Selah. Salah. Shalom, Hadarim. Yeah, man. Shavuot Tov. Have a good, strong seven. You know, have a good, strong week. You know, but keep it sabbatically strong. You know, grace be to you all. Emmanuel. Kadamawi. Halas Allah. Say, we must get.